Once upon a time, a long, long time ago in ancient India, so long ago that it was before parrots had their color, and there was a happy little parrot flying about over the trees of the jungle in the sunshine, chirping happily for the day. And as the little parrot was flying along, the little parrot caught a whiff. What was that? Flew a little further. It was stronger. The smell of smoke. The parrot circled around. Came around again to where it had smelled the smoke and looked more carefully. Saw the smoke. It was a fire. The fire was heading towards a bunch of animals. So the little parrot flew over the little animals and the big animals and hollered out, "Fire! Fire! Run! It's a fire! Run to the river! It's a fire!" And the animals began to run. But the wind picked up and the fire cut them off and they were trapped and the little parrot was frantic. Frantic about the fact that all of these animals were trapped by the fire and could die. And the little parrot flew frantically around in circles trying to figure out what to do. And finally, the parrot flew to the river, dove into the water, flew out of the water, went over the fire, flew into the smoke and the heat, and shook all the water out of its feathers. And there was just a little spat and splatter. Certainly not enough to put out a whole fire. But the little parrot did this again and again and again. Flew into the river, came out of the river, flew into the smoke and the heat, shook water from its feathers, and flew back and flew into the river again and shook again and did it over and over and over. Now, there happened to be a magical being floating by. The kind of magical being that sits on a cloud like a bad attitude. The kind of magical being that sits on a cloud and looks down its nose at everything and everyone. And the magical being said to the parrot, "You silly little parrot, stop that. You can't put out that fire. Look at your wings. They're covered in smoke and soot. Have you lost your mind? You can't put that fire out. You stop that." But the little parrot was not going to be deterred. And the little parrot looked at the magical being and said, "Look, there are animals down there dying. They need to be helped. I'm doing the best I can. So either get out of the way or help. Can't you hear their screams?" And the magical being thought about it for a minute and looked again. This time not so much down the nose. And saw the franticness in the animals. Heard their cries. Realized the danger that they were in, and was converted by the challenge of the little parrot. And because the magical being suddenly felt compassion for the animals and was converted by the critique of the little parrot, the magical being began to cry. And being a magical being, the tears just kept coming and they multiplied and multiplied and the tears fell down upon the fire and they put out the fire and the tears fell down upon the little parrot and they washed away all the soot and all the grime. And when they washed away the soot and the grime, that's when the parrot got its bright colors. And that's why In India, they say, to this day, parrots are brightly colored because of the tears of the magical being and the firefighting little parrot. It's a great story, isn't it? It's a fun story. I love to tell that story. I used to tell that story to my godchildren when they were little. It's a wonderful story. And one of the things that I like about the story is that the story hinges on a ridiculous action. The story hinges on an action that couldn't possibly work. The story hinges on a commitment to be for others. And that's a really powerful message. You see, in the Gospel of John that we heard from today, John presents Jesus as the creative Word of God made flesh. And what Jesus does by being in the flesh is show us who God really is. In the 1960s, the great German biblical scholar Rudolf Bultmann published this thick volume. I still have it on my bookshelf and love it. It's still my favorite commentary on John all these years later. This thick volume in which he said that Jesus functions as the revealer, the one who reveals who God is. And he refers to Jesus in the text always as the revealer with a capital R. And the scholarly consensus has been for many years that Bultmann is right. That Jesus reveals to us who God is. And what Jesus reveals to us is not a God who is a magical being on high. That is not the God that Jesus reveals to us. Jesus comes as the Word of God made flesh to show us what God looks like in the flesh. And when he does, the very first action that he does is to make sure there's wine at a wedding party. That's the work of a God? Making sure there's wine at a party? Like we need to celebrate? Well, actually we do. Right? We do. He liberates, he heals, he blesses throughout the gospel, he feeds throughout the gospel. And when we come to this concluding meal where he gives this long prayer, we have to remember that the long prayer follows foot washing. Foot washing. The act in that day of a lowly servant. Jesus washes their feet. He shows them who God is by washing their feet. We don't think about that enough. He shows them who God is by washing their feet. He shows them who God is by washing their feet. And then he leaps into this prayer. And this prayer, we've talked about it before, how it's really long and it's full of prepositions, which are relationship words. And it's really hard to track and it's really hard to read sometimes. But in the prayer, he says, I gave them the word that you gave me. And it's a joke. It's a play on words. It's a double entendre. Because who is the word? He is. So he's saying, I gave them me, God, because you gave me me. And in giving them me, I gave them you. And I gave you them. This is not a God on high. This is not a magical being. This is not someone who looks down on us, evaluating and judging all the time. That is not who God is. That's not the God that Jesus shows us. He shows us a God when he washes feet. when he makes wine, when he feeds, when he liberates, when he heals, and when he dies, he shows us who God is. That's who God is. And we have settled human beings, we have settled over the centuries for a magical being on high who looks down on us. And we have missed the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the process. Because what Jesus shows us is not a God who sits in the clouds on high, but a God who is like the little parrot, who gives up power, who gets involved, who makes a commitment to us, and then invites us to make a commitment to others. It is important for us to understand how God works. It is important for us to understand that God gets in the middle of the powerlessness, that God gets in the middle of the hopeless, that God flies into the heat and the flames and suffers with us and is there for us and joins us in all of those things. And the promise of resurrection that we have been talking about for the entire Easter season is the promise that all of it will lead us to God. The place we will end is with God. I've given them me, says Jesus. And you gave me me. So they're yours. Because I'm yours. It all ends in God. That's the promise. That's the promise. And so in the terms of our story, God is not the magical being on high who floats by on clouds and sometimes deigns to look at us. No, God jumps into the fray, flies into the smoke, flies into the heat, is with us in all the challenges that we face, and makes it such that we will end up in heaven in all our brightest colors. That's the promise. That's the promise. Next week is Pentecost, and you'll know I'm going to ask you, wear red. Right? We wear red on Pentecost, right? I want to look out and I want to see bright colors everywhere. I want to see red everywhere. Because we too are that little parrot. Full of bright colors. Bright not because we're above it all, but bright because we're in it all. And because our God is not above it all, but in it all. God does not float by on high. God is involved in your life, even in the smoke and the flame. He's there.